The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started.
Welcome to the 97th episode of The Simple Sophisticate, and welcome to a brand new week. Let's make it an amazing one. And no matter what we're doing, it's the everyday way that we live that makes the life we live one of quality or one of some ho-hum kind of not so great feeling at the end of the day. What I'm going to talk about today is this idea of small and simple that can create or equate to a grand and full life. That is what the episode is all about today. And before I dive into that, this week's petit pleasure is a simple touch you can bring into your house that doesn't cost a lot of money and with careful care can actually create a beautiful living space for a week or more. You probably have an idea of what I'm talking about, but I'll give you all sorts of tips and information and a bit of history to this week's petit plaisir. All right, but now to today's episode, simple and small, which equates to a grand and full life. I want to begin with a quote from Jane Austen. There is nothing like staying at home for real comfort. As the 21st century begins to unfold and gradually we climb out of the Great Recession, the hope would be that we apply the lessons learned and refrain from making the same mistakes. Now, there are many mistakes that were made, many lessons that can be learned, things that we couldn't have known, things that we could have. For example, one of the many trends seen following the 2008 economic dive is that people began to seek simpler ways of living, often choosing smaller homes, living more efficiently with regards to energy, partly out of need, but also out of an awareness of what was truly necessary to live well. In fact, in 2013, one of the most popular posts on decor and living here on the blog, The Simply Luxurious Life, was why not live in a smaller home? And I'll include a link to it in today's show notes. The comments from readers makes this article or this post even more interesting because they're sharing their experiences of living small and why they shifted from a large house to a small house and how it's working. And I think that lends a lot of validity to this idea of living in a smaller home. At the time that I wrote that particular post, I was living only in half of the space that my house at the time offered, which was 2,600 square feet. And I was determined when I moved to Bend to downsize for many different reasons, all of which are mentioned in that particular post. Last week, I read a post on the Minimalist blog, which is one of my regular blogs that I follow. He always offers intriguing insight and also shares posts from around the web that he finds that tie to this idea of living simply, but still living well. And so I read this particular post, and I'll provide a link to it on today's show notes, that I was surprised by. And what it revealed was that while, yes, people are living in more energy-efficient homes now, they are now living in larger homes because they can afford it, which negates the energy they were initially saving. So homes continue to grow larger as our economy improves. But I must admit, I am taking an opposite route. I am choosing to go smaller, and I am loving it. Granted, I don't have to live with more than one person, myself and my dogs. But even if I was with one other person, I would want to live smaller. After traveling and staying in London and Paris, I was mesmerized by how well 2 to 4 people could live in a small apartment that's less than about 1,000 square feet. As well, how few appliances and furniture was needed to live well and to be truly comfortable. From the small refrigerators to the lack of a microwave to their galley kitchens, high ceilings were used to enlarge the rooms. Large windows were welcoming to all the natural light and air that made the room seem larger. And what I realized is that the gift of living well doesn't come from square footage, but rather how one lives in the space they inhabit. I encourage you, if this is a topic that interests you, to go back and read the article from a few years ago that was shared on The Simple Luxurious Life. And again, I'll provide a link to that because there are many benefits to living in a small home. I will only touch on those benefits in today's episode or mention them. But in today's episode, I'll take it one step further. Having moved into a house that is half the size of my former abode where I lived for 9 years, and I'll show pictures of that house on the show notes. Feel free to find those links. Each of the points that I shared in that archive post were proven to be accurate. With less time spent on cleaning, I have more time to enjoy doing what tickles my curiosities. With less space to decorate, I have more money in the bank to save. With a smaller yard to maintain, but still a yard, I have the benefits of playing in the dirt without the excess time and energy spent on the upkeep. And with less square footage to heat or cool, my energy bills are lower and my social calendar is full and more of a pleasure because I'm able to live in a town I have dreamed about and now have time to enjoy the offerings and invitations. But it isn't just about living in a smaller space. It is about how you live in the space you call home. No matter where you call home at any given time, even on an extended vacation, the key is to pay attention to the details. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And I know we can't always control the size of our house that we live in at the time for a variety of reasons. So that's why rather than focusing on living in a smaller house, which is something that's a grand change, I'm going to focus on those little everyday things that no matter where you live, big or small, it's going to bring your attention to these moments that you're going to cultivate, and anyone, anywhere can do them. Let's get to these 11 points. Keep it clean. Number one, as I mentioned above, it takes fewer than 30 minutes to clean my house each week. I live in about 1,200 square feet, and I'm telling you the time that I'm saving compared to what I had to do in my other house was, it's wonderful. It's a breath of fresh air. I don't stress or begrudge this task of cleaning my house. A piece of advice I read recently for habits of productive people was to complete any task right now at this present moment that will take fewer than 2 minutes. It was direct, it was simple, but I found it to be true. Whether it's wiping the kitchen counters, putting away the dishes, straightening or recycling the newspapers that are spread on the table, or making the bed in the morning, the simple attention to small tasks throughout the day make the weekly and seasonal tasks of cleaning, like cleaning out the refrigerator, cleaning the stove, much easier. And it allows our sanctuaries to be places of refuge and comfort every day of the week, not just the day or the day after we clean our homes. So number one is keep it clean. Number two are the details. I'm going to talk about a handful of details in number two. The first detail are flowers. Oh, the power of fresh flowers, as I have talked about endlessly here on the podcast as well as on the blog, complete my house's decor. With a bundle of daffodils currently at $1.49 at Trader Joe's, I kid you not, I will pick up 2 bundles or 2 bunches for less than $5 and have a bright spring bouquet on my dining room table for 2 weeks. As long as I refill the water, give it fresh water every couple of days, and trim the ends, they will last longer than we realize. The absence of touches of nature leave a place, in my experience, for me, cold and less welcoming, which is a testament to the power of an inexpensive bouquet. The second detail to pay attention to are the place settings. What we eat determines our energy levels and overall health. And where we eat either encourages us to sit down and enjoy or to simply rush. Why not select beautiful placemats, proper plates, silverware, and stemware, and set up the table for the everyday? I recently picked up the placemats that you'll see in today's show notes from Sur La Table, and even these were less than $17 for four very classic white linens with small, narrow, beige kind of taupe piping. So very simplistic, but they create a sense of order or decorum that says, sit down, enjoy, have this meal that is going to nourish you. And also perhaps if you're enjoying it, slow you down and invoke conversation if you're sitting down enjoying it with someone that at your house. Now, I'll provide a link to those, but there's so many out there and they're not that expensive. And I've just, that's something that I've been trying to add to my decor are these placemats. I have tablecloths, which I love, but placemats as well are very simple things you can move from the table and then change out after the meal. Easy addition. It's all about the details. The third detail is create moments to read, sip, and relax. Creating vignettes organized around the idea of offering a reading or contemplation destination reminds us to indulge in these pleasurable pursuits more often. Select furniture that is comfortable, reupholster if necessary to fit your decor. Pick up simple statement drink table pedestals like the one I'm going to show on the show notes that I actually have in my house. They don't take up much space, but offer a place to put your hot drink while you read the newspaper or your favorite book in the evening, and to begin to create a home that allows you to enjoy the space well. The next detail, keep the counters and tables clear. No matter how big or small of a home that you live in, if the counters and tabletops are cluttered, the room becomes smaller, almost claustrophobic. One significant change that I made in my kitchen after returning from Europe 4 years ago was to get rid of my microwave. Now, many people are like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? But in my old home at the time, I didn't have a built-in. And so I had to put my microwave on the countertop, which meant it took up space. And since I didn't use one for 2 weeks in the apartments I vacationed in Europe, because those places didn't have one, and instead we would just go to the markets each day, there was no need, I discovered. I made then at that moment when I returned a prompt decision, so I didn't have to think about it or him and haw about it. I made an executive decision to get rid of my microwave and use my oven simply to heat up leftovers, which yes, takes a little more time, but it focuses my attention on what I'm going to eat. I have to really think about, do I want to eat these leftovers or not? And so it's not spontaneous. And I have a thought, a moment to think about, do I really need this? Should I be eating this? Or am I just thirsty? Or am I really hungry? Should I go out and da da da? I haven't gone back for 4 years. I still haven't had a microwave. I still don't in this new home. And I do have counter space and I simply turn on the oven and heat it up. Again, that was my choice to keep the counters clear. The question it basically comes down to with regards to what you should and shouldn't have on your countertops is there a purpose or a need to have it be visible each day? I mean, is it something you're using every single day? Then that makes sense. I mean, it's going to be a pain to take it out and in every single day. Again, it's going to be completely up to you. It's going to be completely up to you. But less clutter. It's a little bit more of a breath of fresh air. And your mind will thank you because more stuff equates psychologically to more stress. So the second to last detail we're just talking about are to keep the counters and tables clear. And the last detail I want to talk to you about that really makes a big difference in your home is to add a scent. Whether it's the ever-changing scent that comes from the kitchen while you are cooking or the candles you light each evening to unwind and set the mood, add scents to create the aromatics of a home that is lived in and loved. So number two is all about the details. So let's move on to number three. Let the daylight in. And I talk about this in my book as well. When you're looking for a house or an apartment to live in, you try to have rooms that have as much light as possible, preferably rooms that have two avenues for sunlight, east, north, south, west. So you have corner windows as well. And you want as much light as possible because it really does affect your mood. But I've always been of the mind, I cannot understand why people want to cover the windows when they have them, when they have them. Now, I understand at night you cover them, and I understand for privacy purposes, but even then there are creative ways to keep the light from, to allow the light to shine in and have your privacy. When you have access to daylight, let it in and let it in often. If you do live close to your neighbors, like I said, be creative. Find shears, find blinds, but do what you can to let in as much light as possible. It will, number one, allow the space to appear larger, and the connection to nature will actually be very good for you emotionally and mentally. So it's something to try to be aware of. Those are simple things that we often forget about. I can remember the three large French-style windows in the Maidvale apartment or flat in London that I stayed in when I was in Europe. And these windows lined the wall that overlooked the common garden. That was absolutely exquisite. The window treatments were layers of light, huge shears that would blow in the breeze, and then were outlined with heavy velvet drapes for warmth and depth. When the windows were open each afternoon, because it was summertime, they would immediately cool down the apartment because they would create a soft breeze. And you would also hear the chatter from the neighbors who were enjoying the garden below. Since it was subtle and the breeze was soft and that clean air was then added to the room and emptied out the stale air, it was an immense reprieve for the mind. It was just intoxicatingly relaxing. And that's what windows allow. No matter how big or small, they allow fresh air in, they allow daylight in, and they help us feel more at ease, more probably than we realize. So number three is to let the daylight in. Number four, add complementary layers from textured and complementary hued pillows and blankets, as well as rugs that designate which room begins and ends where. Be patient with yourself as you select these necessary details that turn a house into a home. However, rest assured your patience will pay off with a curated home that is welcoming and restorative. So don't feel forced or rushed to buy everything at once. I have made the mistake early on in my decorating journeys, I guess you could say, to think I have to fill this room right now with everything to make it feel at home. But what I've found is, number one, I've spent way too much money that I didn't have at the time. And number two, it was forced. It wasn't not every item came with some signature or personal touch. And after having lived in a house for 9 years and looking at that house at the beginning of the journey and at the end of the journey when I left it, it was so much more a home at the end because I had taken the time, I had lived my life, and I have brought those memories into that house. That house was more of a sanctuary than it ever could have been the first year, even if I would have filled it up with furniture or decor that wouldn't have had the memories attached to it or the knowledge of who I was and how I wanted to live. So be patient with yourself. It will be worth it. It will pay off. So number four, add complementary layers of decor. Five is to add mirrors, large and small, from floor mirrors to large round mirrors at the end of halls to give the illusion of more space. Making the choice to include mirrors in your home actually is going to reduce the choices and make it easier for you to decide what to put where. Because a mirror is a mirror. And while you can obviously get different sizes and different frames and such, it's still a mirror. And you know where you need to put more light. You know where you need to put more space. Add a mirror, not a painting in that particular space. So in a way, adding a mirror is a simple choice, a simple decision. And now all you have to do is decide how big and what kind of frame do I want to put around it. So number five is to add mirrors. All right, I'm going to take a quick 1 minute intermission and I will see you on the other side with six more ways about how small and simple can create a grand and full life. I'll see you in just a moment. If you're interested in more episodes about how to live grand but in simple ways in your everyday life, I have three episodes you may enjoy. Tune in to episode number 23, The French Way, How to Create a Luxurious Everyday Life. That's episode 23. Or episode 28, A Modern Woman's Lifestyle Grocery List. And one more, episode 50, Why Not Design a Happy Life? Again, that is episode 23, 28, and 50. All right. Welcome back. Number six, getting right back into our list of simple and small and how it can lead to a grand and full life. Number six is organize and decorate with trays. From trays on side tables to trays in the central coffee table, trays allow you to add a signature touch without cluttering the room. And while at first it may seem intimidating to style your own tray, don't worry, you'll quickly get the hang of it. In fact, I wrote a post about it last year, and you can learn all the little details, all subtle tricks with images to help guide your style. So be sure to check the show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast97. So number six is organize and decorate with trays. Number seven is to keep the colors simple. Monochromatic goes a long way to create a sophisticated, chic look. Now, don't get me wrong. You're going to want to add some color, most likely. That should come in the details. They can be colorful. They can be bright. They can be unique and creative, but keep the fundamentals within the same color family, whichever color it is you prefer. Number eight are the light fixtures. Ooh, I love this one. One of the simplest ways to change the look of a room is to change how the light works in the space and change the decor that offers the light. Whether it's a ceiling light, why not make it a pendant? Or a table lamp, just change the shade and paint the base. I love to shop at a shop called Rejuvenation, and it's based in here in the Pacific Northwest. There's one in Portland. I believe there's one in Seattle as well, but I've only shopped at the one in Portland. But you can shop online. That's the beauty of it. And I have the link on the show notes, but they offer a variety of different light fixtures from all different time eras. I'm of the predilection for older, more retro lamps and fixtures, but they have all different eras. And so therefore it adds some personality and it will align with your particular decor tastes. I highly recommend you check it out. It's an easy, easy do-it-yourself fix in your house. So number eight is pay attention and change the light fixtures. Number nine is to determine the energy you exude in the space. This is a little different than what we've just talked about up until this one, but this one's huge if we're going to change the quality of the everyday in our homes. No matter how beautiful a home is decorated, if the energy of the space is negative and narrow-minded, nobody will feel at home. Even if you're living by yourself, the energy you bring into the space affects how you feel in the space. Design with love and appreciation for the space you have, no matter how large or small. Cultivate a space that lifts you up and allows you to leave your home each day feeling confident, supported, and strong. A space is powerful, but we ultimately are the ones who give it the power. Do you sing in the morning when you're starting the day? Do you play music that is uplifting? Watch shows that are insightful? What do you read? Do you read? Allow your home to be the space where you are filled up with what you want more of in the world and thus yourself. If you live with others, cultivate an environment where others feel they can be themselves and mindful of others' different way of doing things. As well, create an understanding of being mindful of the shared spaces, picking up after yourself, putting away your dishes. And if you do live by yourself, be selective about the energy you allow into your living space. Why? Homes are spaces that collect memories. So make sure the memories you inspire to occur in your home are memories you want dancing around in your head as you reflect on the space in which you live. So number nine is determine the energy that you exude in a space. Number 10 is all about the food we make and enjoy in our homes. And what I mean by this is our home is a place of comfort, and that includes the food we find and prepare there. While from time to time, I too will order takeout and bring it home, primarily my meals are made at home by me with a curiosity about a recipe or made from memory as it is a tried and true concoction that will leave me satiated and re-energized. Part of making a space with four walls a home is the food that is prepared and served within them. Even if your skills are limited, select food that is both healthy and delicious. Stock your cupboards with real food and the basics to help you prepare any meal on your capsule menu. And I will provide more information on the Simply Luxurious Life's capsule menu, which is coming soon. I'm finding that there's a lot more research I want to do about it because I want to offer you a quality product. So do stay tuned for that. But once you have a capsule menu and it does fulfill you and it's also delicious, keep your pantry stocked with the basics and enjoy doing that weekly shopping trip. Or if you have to do every once in a while daily to pick up one or two ingredients, make it an enjoyable process. And always remember, a well-lived life begins with a healthy you, and a healthy you is largely dependent upon how and what we eat. So why not become the chef in your house? I'll provide a handful of posts and episodes where we talk about cooking. For example, why not learn how to cook? The benefits of being your own cook. Why not keep it simple in the kitchen? I'll offer a handful, more than a handful of ways to do just that. Keep it simple. Because sometimes I think the kitchen or cooking can be overwhelming, especially in our busy lives. And the benefit of sitting down for dinner, what that cultivates in your life, what energy it creates in your home. And there'll be a handful of others. So please check those out if this is something that interests you. Last but not least is number 11, and it's all about reading material. Why not line a shelf in your kitchen with your favorite cookbooks, or build shelves for a library or a wall of books in your office or living room? Bring in information. Never stop learning, and encourage those who visit or live in your home to want to pick up a book, a magazine, a newspaper, and simply read. If you create a space that is welcoming to sitting down and doing this, it will not only be more likely to happen for others, but for yourself as well. So number 11 is to add reading material to your home. All of these 11 simple touches make the space you call home all the more beckoning at the end of each day. No matter how big or small your space is, respect it and understand the power it can have in our everyday life. Harness this power to support you, inspire you, and leave you a more fulfilled individual each day when you wake up and get the day started. Most importantly, the quality of life we live is determined by how we spend our time, what we value, and the relationships we build. A bigger home, back to that whole idea of smaller versus bigger, a bigger home doesn't necessarily ensure this, but a well-cared-for space with attention paid to the details that enliven the everyday experience certainly do. May you find and cultivate your very own home sweet home. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. To visit the show notes, go to thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast97 and stay tuned for this week's petit plaisir. I'll be right back. All right, so this week's petit plaisir is something that I came across last week as I was tending to one of the tips I just talked about in today's episode. I was going to Trader Joe's. I was picking up my flowers for the week, and I think I spent less than $10 on, I kid you not, four bundles of daffodils and one small bouquet of tulips. And what I'm going to talk about today are those tulips, because they turned into something I never expected. I'm not saying I didn't expect them to look beautiful, but sometimes you buy flowers and you just keep being mesmerized by them as they continue to grow and to bloom and slightly droop. And anyway, I have a picture of them on today's show notes, as I shared on Instagram yesterday. But a petit plaisir is about bringing the seasonal flowers into your home. It's an inexpensive way, as we said, to bring in Mother Nature, a simple touch to decor that just seems to finish the decor. At least it does for me. And so this whole idea of tulips, if you love daffodils, I understand, go for it, buy daffodils. If you're a fan of peonies, which I love peonies, absolutely. But let's talk tulips today. Because, well, why not? Well, there are three different types of tulips. There are the regular tulips that we often find in the grocery store and in the markets. And as we know, they come in a multitude of colors. Some are double, which actually are available in fewer colors, and then the single are full of all sorts of colors and variegated versions. Now, these are probably the most inexpensive varietal of tulip. They can last up to a week if you take care of them well, and sometimes a little longer, depending on when you buy them, and we'll talk about when is the best time to buy them here in a minute. The second type of tulip are the parrot tulips. And if you've seen these, you know exactly what they are. They come in a variety of different colors, but no matter what their color is, they have those frilled kind of fringed edges, and they are all variegated to some degree, some more than others, but they all are variegated. So the fringed or frilled edges, and they have the variegated color scheme going on. And last but not least, the ones that are hard to find because they are expensive and they are specialty items in many places, if you're not in a flower garden or a flower market, are the French tulips. And these are tulips that have very long stems and large blooms, and that is why they're more expensive, understandably so. So those are the three different types of tulips. And this is a fun little fact that I didn't know. Did you know that tulips like to grow for a short period of time after they are cut? I kid you not. I'll provide the source of that information on the show notes should you want to look a little bit further into the facts of the fun facts of tulips. How though to care for a bouquet? I'm going to share with you my experience of how I've been able to make them last and look as lovely as they possibly can, as well as include a few of Martha Stewart's tips. And I'll provide a link to her list of tips as well as share them here. So first of all, choose a tall vase. As we know, they have long stems, no matter whether it's a regular or a French. Obviously, the French will need a taller vase, but they do have long stems. So you want to provide support for your tulips. So choose a taller vase. It doesn't have to be narrow, but it just needs to be one that's not shallow. Number two is to buy tulips that have fairly closed buds. You want to buy flowers that are only blooming enough so as to reveal to you their color. And therefore, they'll last longer. As soon as you start taking care of them, if you're taking care of them well, they'll last a lot longer. Ones that are in full bloom will last about 2 or 3 days, but they're at their maturation point and there's only so much longer they can live, as we know. So make sure you buy them when the buds are fairly closed. The third point is that you don't want to arrange tulips with other flowers that are of the Narcissus genus, which include daffodils, paper whites, jonquils. They emanate a substance into the water that will shorten the lives of the tulips. And this is what Martha Stewart shares with us. Now, can you mix them with roses? Yep, you can. There's a handful of flowers you can mix them with, but there are a handful that you can't. So those spring flowers, daffodils, and tulips, nope, they need their own vases. Number four is to obviously make sure you have a clean vase, but the part of the clean vase, that whole concept, is you want to remove all and any bacteria that was there from the last bouquet that you had. Again, it's all about prolonging the life of your tulip. And here's an interesting fact. You do want to fill it with lukewarm water or room temperature water, but only fill the vase about a third of the way up. They actually prefer shallow water. This is what Martha Stewart reveals to us, which means then you'll have to probably replace the water quite frequently, but it will make the blooms last longer. So why not? Then you want to add flower food, or you can make your own. And Martha Stewart's recipe is very simple. It's 1 teaspoon of sugar with 2 drops of liquid bleach in 1 gallon of fresh water. So there is a recipe. I will put that on the show notes for food for your flowers. Number six, the next step is to, as we know, trim the ends of those flowers. Trim the stems at a 45 degree angle, and then you want to remove any of the white stem that is still there. Trim that off because it doesn't allow the water to get sucked up into the flower as it needs its energy. It needs its food. The next is to refresh the water because you have put it in shallow water every day or every couple of days. And you'll also want to recut the stems when you do this so that they can absorb the water. The longer they last will probably also be based on the place you put them in your house. Cooler is better. While they do love sunshine and they gravitate towards it, and it's so much fun to watch the heads turn towards it, they will last longer if you put them in cool spaces. And Martha has a tip for those droopy heads. If you don't want them to be too droopy, I actually like the droop, but that's just me. She suggests putting a pin through the stem just below the head of the tulip, and then you pull it out immediately. And what this does is that it creates a hole that lets air escape to expedite the water flow. Didn't know that, but now we do. And last but not least, you don't have to have a big bouquet of tulips. Why not just have one by your bedstand or on a small little coffee table in your office or your living room? Small single bud vases, those tall, skinny bud vases, are some of the easiest to find at a yard sale because not everyone thinks to do that. They have one extra bud somewhere. What do we do with it? Put it in a single vase. I love those. And I often put them in my bedroom next to my bed. What a simple little touch to add to your last moment of consciousness before you fall off to sleep. All right. So yeah, why not add seasonal flowers to your home? These are simple touches that make a huge difference. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Pleasure, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, a recipe, or from time to time, introduce you to an expert who offers insight into how to live simply, luxuriously. Anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. To stay caught up on the most recent podcasts, blog posts, exclusive news, as well as receive an extra dose of inspiration exclusively to subscribers, subscribe on the blog to the Simply Luxurious Life's weekly newsletter, which arrives in your inbox each Friday morning, just in time to be enjoyed with a hot cup of tea or your morning coffee to kick off the weekend. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bon journée.
This is your moment, your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.